Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Griese! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And good morning once again. This is Coach Chuck Griese, and it's another Wednesday, and this is American Tennis. Every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time, we will have a program on American Tennis, the good things that we're doing and some of the not so good. We talk about the politics of tennis. We talk about who's making innovations. We talk about just about anything you want to talk about. But we always say that our mission here at American Tennis is to get you to stand up and to speak out and to say those things that need to be said. Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. And we ask that always you stay professional, address issues, never people. And no man can find fault in that. Every week you can call in, and we would love for you to call in today as we are having a discussion today on the recent, there was many call it a big victory for college tennis yesterday, but it is right now just a partial stay, I would say, as the NCAA cabinet tabled. The word has come down from many sources that the NCAA has tabled the ITA push and the USTA push to abbreviate scoring and change our scoring system and maybe to change the history of what our tennis game is about. And but this was yesterday. We have a discussion, and we'll have coaches on today talking about this. And if you want to be part of that discussion, call in area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853 to be on the show today. Also, if you'd like to get some of the past shows, go to chuckcreasy.net. That's Chuck, K-R-I-E-S-E, chuckcreasy.net. And you can read my blogs, you can get order my books, you can see about my camps and training sessions and coaching seminars that will be coming up, and also you can get the UR Tennis Network programs of American Tennis. When I'm on the UR Tennis Network, the subject I wanted to mention is that Lisa Stone, her fantastic show every Monday at noon. And she's been out to U.S. Open the past 2 weeks getting some of the cutting-edge stories, and her Parenting Aces program has become extremely popular, and every Monday at noon on the UR Tennis Network. You can get this on your iPhone at the UR Tennis Network, the letter U, the letter R, number 10, and the number letter S, Network. And also, 2 hours from right now, Jason Haynes will have his College Connection program on, and I'm sure that he will be talking about what happened yesterday as well, and some of the good things, and then some of the outlooks by that different coaches have. But every Wednesday Eastern Standard Time at 2, Jason Haynes on the Yellow Ball Network, and a very popular and fast-growing program, J.P. Weber's We Coach Tennis program, every Tuesday as well. And what I love about the We Coach Tennis program is that it features the views of 2,000 different coaches that are on the We Coach Tennis Facebook site now, and J.P. Weber's, gosh, he says it the way it is, and it's very, very refreshing to hear his points of view on so many things, and he has cutting-edge guests as well. So anyhow, that's the preview for today's show is just what I said. We're going to have some callers on here in a second. I wanted to tell you, though, just to get off and running, that we have been battling something for the last year, or a little bit more than year. I want to go back to 2012 is when this whole move started to try to change or abbreviate our scoring system of the fantastic game of tennis. I was currently, 2 years ago, I was working up in College Park, Maryland, and coaches ran in and said, wow, did you hear what they're trying to do with change college tennis format? Now, that time I had been out of the college coaching field for, about 4 or 5 years, and but it still concerned me, and very quickly a few young players up at the University of Michigan got a petition up on change.org, and very quickly the summer of 2012, there was more than 9,000 signatures, close to 10,000 signatures that opposed the changing of our scoring system. And I was blown away at the time, because when the NCAA used to use NOAD scoring, it was proposed back in, I think, in 78, 77, 78, and it was supposed to be an experimental format. And it went forward for, I think, 13 or 14 years, and many would say that many argue for it and saying, hey, it made me a clutch player. Many would say, no, it buried some of our best grinders and some of our best players who had to take so many losses because of the scoring system instead of forehands and backhands creating parity. They claim that parity was created immediately by the scoring system. So, and I agree. There, in about 1975 to 80, in there were only five teams really that could win the NCAA, and these were West Coast teams plus Trinity University from San Antonio, Texas. But with NOAD scoring, there were immediately 20 probably teams that had immediate parity. It favored the underdog, and a lot of teams got notoriety, and a lot of teams were able to spring up by getting upset wins. And we saw a shift in the power, and many would argue, hey, maybe this was a good thing. And I always argue that no, parity should have to be done because of forehands and backhands and serves and mental toughness and physical toughness and conditioning and those things that make players great. And there were, because college players were able to play so much, and I had players that had match counts up in the 120s and 130s for the year. They would literally play that many matches throughout the year. At that point, there were positive aspects about NOAD scoring for practice purposes and for training purposes. However, players never learned the importance of war zones, which are your long games, the pivotal games that we see so often on TV. Actually, when the young Japanese player beat Djokovic at the semifinals. Kai, Nishikori. Okay, Nishikori, my trusty assistant had to help me with that name again. But when he beat it, that's an exciting thing. But if everybody will remember back to the Warzone game, he had to hold the serve after he got his break, and, you know, the 20-point game and things. These are the things, the drama of this. And players never learned how to play these long Warzone games. And the grouping of points, the 3 points in a row, are so very, very critical to being successful in tennis. But with that being said, players did play Noad in practice, and nerve-wracking. Three all points were worth two games. The three all point was worth two games. The game, even if it was the first game of the set, it was the game the other guy had now, and the game you didn't have, and the two games it was going to take you to get your one game lead based on 1 point. Now, people would argue that the cheating was paramount, and it was. We had the ridiculous rule put in about the let rule for serving, which was started because of cheating. People would get aced on a 3-3 point, and they would call a mysterious let. And because they called a let, they heard it, they'd play it over. And this would be big, huge momentum switches based on the paramount effect of 1 point being worth two games. So the scoring system became more important than the skill set of forehands and backhands. And that's the bottom line on the NOAD scoring. And I've got a list of 10 things that I can argue with anybody. The odds of being up 30 love, that it's a 16-1 odds that you have a game point, or the 30-15 point that you have an 8-1 odds. But however, with those odds, the momentum would still switch because it favored the underdog, and that the favored player never got comfortable in working through the pressure and taking care of the business of carrying the lead, which is the most important skill set that any player has to learn. If you're an underdog out there and you're trying to beat a favorite, you have to learn how to carry the lead with your hands breaking down against a favorite playing great and their hands working well. Carrying the lead is the skill set that we have not taught our players. This all being said, we went through this period of NOAD, and then they, of course, finally took it out. The USTA president came and said, guys, this is not a rule of tennis. You're the only people in the world playing this scoring system, so let's be done with it. And we played it for those many years because nobody knew enough about it. But this time, getting back to the University of Michigan guys who at change.org came forward and said, no, we don't want abbreviated scoring systems. We don't want this. At change.org, they stood up because people had played enough of NOAD during that time to say, whoa, wait a minute. The whole essence of tennis, the depth of tennis, the integrity of tennis, this most precious heirloom of our scoring system has been taken out of the game, and it's getting taken out of the game. Now, where that brings us to the last few years, and now in 2012, we had a terrible environment at the NCAA tournament, apparently, where it rained, and we had 32 teams. There were 16 men, 16 women, and basically the facility not being large enough to facilitate a great experience for everyone. Officials came away saying, wow, this is just too long. This is too much. This is too big of a show for what we have to do. And this is what perpetuated the whole movement. So the ITA took it upon themselves. We're going to change it. And so they came up with some really interesting, I'm going to be kind in saying interesting, formats. One was a single ad format, commonly referred to as, I hate to say this, I hate to be critical, but it was not a, it was basically all the coaches didn't think that this was a good format to use. Secondly, they pushed forward at the ITA convention. They talked 5 straight hours last year about the change that has to be made and don't slow down the times. And you basically, when people start talking about change, you have the people that say, no, some things matters of principle. You stand like a rock. You don't change things. Matters of method, you can flow with the wind or flow with the stream. And this is where the ideology split happens. The ideology split happens because many people, myself included, believe that the scoring system is a bedrock principle of our sport. It makes it the chess of the board games, not the checkers of the board games. The scoring system has been used for years and years. The precedent around the world, it's a universal scoring system that is used around the world, that intrigues people, that perplexes people, that gets people, keeps the drama of the game moving. And I almost used the word excitement, but that's the one that the NOAAD is using. And I say excitement, folks, is like a roller coaster ride. The first time you take it, it's exciting. Next time, half as much. Third time, unless you say, let's move on to the Ferris wheel. It's not the excitement of tennis. It's the drama of the tennis. The first you have it, then you don't. Drama of tennis is that makes the game so fantastic and intriguing, and it is a chess match. And we all know this, that it's a fantastic sport that we need to embrace. I'm going to go to commercial. I'll be right back with American Tennis.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and this is American Tennis. And every week at noon, we come to you on Wednesdays, and we will be bringing up different topics. But this week, it is the just huge decision yesterday to table the NOAAD scoring, and hopefully it'll be for a while, and so that we have everything on the table, and coaches can fight for what they believe in an open forum, and we can help college tennis become the great, great, great training ground that it once was. And I always bring up that and we don't need to compare, but in the 80s, we had up to 40 players who had played college tennis, top 100 in the the world, and today we have three Americans in the top 100 that had played college tennis. It definitely is not the training ground, but those who have been fighting this fight would argue that it is about, it is completely about the dumb down of the sport, from the rules to the influx of too many international students. And nobody's against international students. It's the fact that we have lost many, many spots on teams, and many, many teams predominantly by this. We have become less relevant on our campuses. And it's not that we don't have wonderful, wonderful international coaches and players who've contributed greatly, but we've lost so many spots for our American kids, and that's just a fact the way it is. But the biggest paramount thing was in the early 90s that the sport definitely changed from being a viable training ground for professional ranks and for great players into not quite an activity, but our sport was dumbed down in the early 90s with all the NCAA cutbacks. And many would argue that it's not format. It's never been about format. It's been about for not addressing issues such as the Title IX issue and getting some balance for a very great law but very poorly implemented law that really was never meant to cut all of the men's sports up and cut them to bits, especially like tennis. Also, the early 90s not fighting back or having any pushback on the rules of going to 25 matches and just really, really eliminating all of the opportunities to play that you need as a tennis player. Baseball has 66, and we went to 25. They have 2.5 times more contests than we do. And on with that, we would say also that the issue about the foreign athlete, we never got a hold of that. We should have had a limit of 2 players per team, and I don't think any of the foreign athletes would have complained. I don't think, because that's the rule around the world, is 2 internationals on these teams. And also, I do not believe that there would have been any pushback at all by parents or anybody, but we would have kept the sport relevant on campuses right now where people want to come out. And let's face it, many, many sports drop, many, many places have dropped their tennis teams because of the fact that they basically, it's easier. They drop a sport at a big school. The international students will go and disperse to different teams, and the American parents are not around to complain. And so that's the fact of the matter on this. But it's not about format. I want to make that point. It's for not addressing these issues, and this is something we have to do much, much better. But I want to move on to what this whole history, again, I was going through the history of what's happened with this NOAAD scoring. So with the 10,000 signatures in 2012 to it rearing its head again, and again, after 10,000 signatures, it is really disappointing that the whole situation would morph itself into a different form and come back 2 years later and people trying to push it forward now as a big agenda by the USTA. And that's that simple. The USTA wants college tennis in the arena, wants it to be viable, wants it to be visible, which all of us do. All of us want the ITA, the ITA, the MDTA, the USTA. Everybody wants college tennis to be better than it is and more viable and more relevant. But the point is the agenda came up for this NOAAD scoring out of the blue. It was not even on the table to have this. We had a coaches vote in December, and the vote was 21-19 to use regular scoring, but play one set for the doubles and to try to find other ways to abbreviate it. So that was 21 votes. The other was just to play full matches with no ad. The 21-19 won, so people left with a good sense that, hey, this at least we can live with this. And then they came out with a unbelievable, morph of the what had been discussed and no one had discussed before, the abbreviated sets, plus the no-ad scoring for 6 weeks of our season, and lots of teams, many, many teams took losses that they shouldn't have had, and actually I will argue that it put coaches' jobs on the line. When the scoring system changed, it put coaches' jobs on the line. So take us through this summer, the battles of and the letters going on and on and on. And Lisa Stone's program, actually, I think it was August of, I believe it was August 13th. If y'all, August 11th, you'll go back to Lisa Stone's program about August the 11th. On Monday, she had a great discussion. Excuse me. She had a great discussion between those who were advocating no ad scoring versus those like myself who are trying to preserve the integrity of the game and not change from the format that has been used for so many years. We went forward, and the NCAA committee doesn't do it. The ITA committee gave the recommendation to the NCAA committee. The NCAA committee passed it forward to the cabinet, and then here's where we are. As of yesterday, the NCAA cabinet has tabled the matter, which is a, I mean, that's as good as we could hope for when we're talking about the huge potential of having to go to no-ad scoring. And what most people really know and really believe is that if we had gone to no-ad scoring, or if we do go to no-ad scoring in the college ranks, it would be very quickly, it would go down to the junior ranks and it would go down to other levels. And this might become something that overthrows. We'd be playing the same format as we play in world team tennis. So with all those things going on, we want to start a discussion here. I've got to do one more commercial in a second, but then when we get back, I've got a few people holding. If you'll hold just a few more minutes here, I've got to set the table. But I do want to talk about the whole thing and how the principles that people can look at with this scoring battle, you know. So with that, I want to right now. Okay, caller hung up here. I want to give a quick little paragraph that I wrote to a coach that was calling me, asking me about my fundamental belief on this. And here's what I put. I put, this is just a very tough situation, as the amount potentially gained by what the USTA and the ITA are pushing forward is so minimal to what would be lost in our great sport of tennis at multiple levels and multiple ways. To we coaches who are in the trenches, the sport we coach is first an educational endeavor, and secondly, in an entertainment event. It is great to have both of these, if you can have both of them, and it would be very awful to have neither of these. However, everything boils down to the fact that our first mission should be leadership training and education through our sport for young men and young women at the collegiate level. We should not buckle nor waffle merely to appease the whimsical times in which we live. We will be forever chasing our tail. If we honor the game, it will honor us. If we cheapen it, we will have nothing in the end. And that is just so much what it is about. And we want to hear what your thoughts are, so call in if you can at area code 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853. 6853. Let me go to a quick commercial here, and we'll be right back with American Tennis.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and welcome back to American Tennis. And we expect a call from Coach Randy Blumendahl here in a minute to speak about this. But I want to talk just a second about a couple other things, and I think we need to point this out as well. Without a doubt, the USTA has been behind this with the college tennis, with the ITA. There's no doubt about it. And everybody, as much as everybody wants the USTA's help, and we need the USTA's help and everything, it comes down to the USTA should not have the power to change fundamentally our game of tennis. You know, it's just something that shouldn't happen, and something that we need to be opposed to. And, of course, the ITA is a coaches organization. And in the ITA, with the coaches organization that they are, we need to all remember that this is a voluntary organization. A voluntary organization with the ITA should absolutely do what it can to help the sport, and it should guide us with the consent of most of the members. Now, the thing absolutely about the ITA is that it is, people say it's a ruling body. It is not. It is a dues-paying organization. Their first job is to take care of those people who pay the dues. It does not run college tennis. The universities run college tennis along with the conferences, along with the NCAA. So I want to bring somebody on, and then we'll discuss it. We have a call right now, area code 828-266. Are you on the line, caller?
Hey, Chuck. Mike Cernoto.
Mike, how are you doing, man? It's always good to hear your voice. And so you've been listening to the show today.
I just got on a couple of seconds ago. I wanted to let you know or remind you, if you already knew, that the article by the sports reporter for the New York Times, Mary Pylon, who's been doing a very lengthy bit of research on the USTA and 10 and under tennis, is going to be coming out in the New York Times in the next couple of days. So you might want to look for that.
Okay. Okay, it's going to be coming out in New York Times. And where should we look for it, Mike?
Right now, when? She just said she's going to try to send it to me, but she said if you put like one of these Google Time marks on it, it will actually pop up for you. So, or you can go to Mary Pylon, and they have a New York Times, and they have an archive of all of her articles. She just wrote one on McEnroe's dismissal from the USTA, but she said that the 10 and under should be coming up just in the in the next couple of days. She had contacted me to reaffirm some of the conversations that we had had.
Well, now, Mike, this is a continuing, ongoing thing. I mean, the top-down management of the USTA, now it's interfered with college tennis, and The thing is, it basically, people do not like top-down management. They do not like coercive leadership where you're forced. Persuasive leadership is fair. What we want is leadership by example, where we buy in to leadership and buy into initiatives because it's the best thing. Could you talk about this real briefly? I've got someone online, if you can hang on the line too, and just hang on, caller. I want to get Mike's ideas here. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, one of the things that's always concerned me about the USTA, especially recently, is the lack of transparency. And it seems to mirror, you know, the political spectrum today, where it was, you know, 6-7 years ago, the Obama administration said it's going to be the most transparent history, and it's probably the least transparent. And I also feel like they don't have any people at the administrative level that are willing to stand up and say, well, no, I don't think this is correct, and this is why it's not correct. As a matter of fact, I've written several friends and suggested that this is a really fantastic opportunity for the USDA to do a complete overhaul of player development. Just, you know, get rid of everybody that's in there and bring in somebody to head it up that is there for the right reasons. You know, they're not there for the money, they're there for the good of tennis. And that they should have an advisory committee that's made up of some of the top minds in player development in the country, and it should be from a lot of different disciplines. And in particular, I think there should be people on there that have been critical of the way things have been done in the past, because you can't be successful with a bunch of sycophants hanging around. I think this is what's happening, you know, not only in the 10 and under and the player development, but also with the USTA and a number of other entities that they're in charge of. So, you know, I would. This is a great opportunity. Tim Mayotte, Wayne Bryant, Brett Hobden. There are a number of people that I think would be fantastic on this committee that have vision and are not, you know, not concerned about what their salaries are. They're concerned about U.S. tennis.
Well, we have tremendous minds out there. We have the best minds and independent minds that we should be embracing, all of those outliers that are out there in tennis. We should be embracing every idea. But it's a recurring theme of every bureaucracy, Mike. I'm going to bring on, I think, because you know this person, I think it's Coach. Are you on the line there? Coach Blumenthal.
Yes, I am.
Hey, got Randy Blumenthal on the line. I'd love for you guys to go back and forth here a few minutes. And Mike, if you've got to go teach your kinesiology class, we surely understand, but hang on if you can a little bit. And Mike and Randy, table.
Maybe 5 minutes, Chuck.
Okay. Well, then you guys, I'm going to let you talk about USTA in general then, the top-down management. Randy, go ahead. Any thoughts about what Mike has to say? And then, Mike, you go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
I just jumped into the conversation, so I'll let Mike go ahead and go, and I'll jump in.
Oh, well, Randy,
so
hey,
Mike,
how you doing? It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you as well, yeah.
Randy, basically what I was saying is that, in particular with Patrick McEnroe being dismissed from his position, this is an excellent time for the USTA to do a complete overhaul of player development, especially from the perspective of transparency. And I really feel that they need to go out and find people that are not there for the money, but are there for the good of the game. And they need to get people that are critical. You can't have all yes men. You've got to have people in the administration that are willing to say no and aren't penalized for saying no, because that's the way that, you know, good ideas are brought to fruition. And I don't think they have that right now. I think they have just a hierarchy in the administration, and, you know, they don't want to hear from people that have valid reasons for saying no to them. And I think this is happening in a lot of different areas with regards to the USTA, and I think, you know, they're just a ball of fire waiting to erupt and just, you know, kind of implode. I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100% with what you're saying. I think, you know, the way I think about it all the time is, you know, finding people to honor the game, not honoring themselves or trying to build their resumes, and that becomes a very difficult thing to do when they get put in those positions. I think we have a lot of good coaches in the USTA currently, but, you know, it doesn't seem to be working as well as what we think it should. Well, I think that's obvious because we have very high expectations with what could happen. But I, the point you made, I think we're right on. And how do you solve those problems? I think the USDA needs to let go a little bit of their power and allow some creativity to happen in the tennis world where we can, you know, be able to build our own events and get some of these players up through in a little different pathways than maybe what's written out or what they think is planned after 12 and unders or 14 and under.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to ask you a quick thing, though. Mike, let me ask you this quick question. Wouldn't you agree, though, that Dave Haggerty's done a good job with his tour that he made and that he was out there asking the right questions and things the first year he was on the job? Or do you think that was window dressing?
Yeah, I think he's been more open physically. You know, he's been out there, but I'm not sure that they are. I really don't think I've seen anything instituted yet that has made me think that there are any changes being made. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I really think the player development should have an advisory committee that's made up of somebody, you know, like somebody like Randy, you know, who's been in the trenches, who's in college tennis. I mean, I think college tennis should be, you know, part and parcel of the player development committee, along with people, you know, like, you know, have a couple of sports scientists on there, you know, have guys that are developing players at the lower levels and have a reputation for bringing them along. You've got a lot of people in player development that haven't developed players. I really don't think they have a vision because they really haven't had to go through the processes, and I think that's a huge problem. I mean, we've got people out there with vision for what could be done. I mean, you know, I know Randy's probably got, you know, 10 or 15 ideas. I know I do, too, as to what we could do to completely revamp player development in this country. But they don't want to hear from people like us because we are contrary to what they want to do and how they want to do it.
Well, one of the things I really believe, guys, is it's just the nature of a bureaucracy. I think that it's just like a huge ocean liner trying to change the direction of ocean liner or changing. You know, I think Haggerty went out there this first year and made that tour. And, you know, I think it was refreshing. I think it was a good thing. And I do know that some of those other guys, the Scott Schultz, the Bill Mountfords, and people have really reached out to me and asked, you know, a lot of things. And actually, I got a call from Patrick McEnroe earlier this year, and then I was invited to a thing in Atlanta where they were just listening to what some of the coaches had to say. And I think that they were on, you know, trying to get onto this and listening. But again, I you know, it's just the nature of bureaucracies of how it's just so hard to get things changed, and I don't know how you do that, except Coach Randy would probably agree that we need incentives, we need to get the handcuffs off, get people incentives and not systems. But, Mike, I really, really appreciate you. Any other quick thoughts here? I got a couple other calls I got to take here. Any other quick thoughts?
You know,
thank you for being on.
Incentives are great, Chuck. Incentives are great, but the people that really want to do something for tennis, they don't need incentives. They need to be given the opportunity to put their ideas out and let them, you know, be tried. You know, you've got to research these things and find out what works and what doesn't work before you implement them. So I don't think people like Randy needs an incentive, man.
More competition, not financial incentives or incentives that way.
We set up systems.
I'd like to see competition just put the bait out there and say, go get it. Well, Mike Crinodle, thank you so much for coming on and all you do for tennis here. I got another call I'm going to bring on the line. Area code 678. 678. Area code 678. Yes.
That must be me.
Okay, that's Coach J.P. Weber. Thanks for being on the show, J.P. I want to go here just a second. I want J.P. to get in on this conversation. But guys, we had a – I don't want to say historic yet. I mean, we've got so much work to do, and those who are battling for just the honor of our game of tennis. But yesterday, the NCAA cabinet at least put on hold – or put a tabled the ITA move, the USTA move, to change to no ad scoring and really just completely change our game as we know it. Coach Blumenthal, you want to talk about that? I'd like to get your thoughts there, Coach Weber.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Coach Weber. Go ahead.
Well, I would actually, you know, I had Coach Creasy, I've got that show, and I had Coach Bayless on that show, and I was kind of curious. Randy, he characterized it to me, and I'm trying to understand it, that there just wasn't very much opposition to it on the men's side. And it was almost accepted on the men's side. And on the women's side, he felt like that was something that was brought up, but everybody had opportunities to speak up about that and against that. So I'm just sort of curious, is that a proper characterization of that, one? And then two, I'm really glad about this for you guys, but for us in this way, it's top-down management, it seems to me. And while I understand it is a representative, and I talked to Coach Bayless on my show last week, and he made these points, he said, you know, it's a representative organization, and we're supposed, you know, it works like a republic. You know, we're in there, and we're doing what we've seen the big picture. You guys don't see the big picture.
You're talking about the ITA. You're talking about the
ITA,
correct?
They see the big picture, and you guys can't grasp it or see it. So in his thing to me, Randy, he said that there wasn't much opposition. 90% of the men are for it, for the changes, and the women, it's been a little bit different, but so I wanted you to comment on that. But then the other side of it is I'm just so glad that you were able to kind of, if it is such as he describes it, I'm not sure why it failed then, at least to get past this committee or whatnot, because it fails that, you know, that groundswell. It's top-down management. It fails the test of, you know, the people out there wanting it, and so they're doing something for the people or for the coaches. Instead, it's top-down, and it's just so akin to me to the way the USDA does things, and I'm wondering if you could comment on that some.
I think this is the exact point of why the ITA is out of touch at this point. I mean, to make that statement that the men's coaches were not opposed to the mandate, I think, you know, one of the reasons they tabled it was the feedback they were getting was 10-1 opposing the mandate. 10 emails
well,
or
heard,
10 letters
heard
to
that.
One.
We don't know for yeah. Coach, to be fair. And, we haven't heard exactly what it was yet. We'll get stories coming out. But, you know, we have heard those rumors. And, of course, you have the tremendous amount of numbers that we've seen compiled by the NBTA, by the coaches' polls, et cetera. So go ahead, Coach.
Exactly, JP. Yeah, our own poll ended up 111 opposed to 13, you know, for the mandate. So, you know, and we have a lot of, you know, a lot of letters corresponding to us telling us that they were going to write the cabinet and follow through on not wanting the mandate. So, you know, I know in the Big Ten we voted as men's coaches, we voted on whether we wanted or didn't want it, and I'm not saying that there weren't coaches that didn't like certain pieces of it, but as a whole, the mandate as a whole, only three coaches in the conference voted for it. So, you know,
so that'd
I don't,
be 12 to
you know,
three. That'd be 12-3, Coach.
Right. Well, we only have 12. It's actually 9-3. We only have 12
okay.
teams that play men's tennis in the Big Ten. But yeah, so 9-3. And the women were, I believe the women were 11-3. So,
and, you know, the Big South voted against it. The
yep.
Southern Conference unanimously voted against it. The women in the Big Ten voted against it. So, I mean, you know, I think your point is well taken. Then go ahead, Coach, but the point is well taken that's they're not in touch if they don't think the men were against this.
Well, I think this is the disconnect. I mean, a lot of the meetings – I've had over, you know, with different individuals in the ITA, you know, is that, you know, we need experts and we have experts currently that know the direction that tennis needs to go in, but I'm not sure. And in fact, by the feedback we're getting, we don't feel like the majority of the coaches are really buying into the direction that they're trying to take us with scoring format. Nor, you know, and my belief is the scoring format really isn't the thing that's going to carry us forward in the future. I think it's
exactly
a small piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. And on the women's side, could you comment about the women's side? He said we're representative government, but all that the women were asking for is a two-thirds majority vote on something so huge. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. They had a petition, and I think at one point over 180 coaches had signed it, and then a few coaches pulled their name off at the last second, but the majority of coaches signed the petition that they were against the mandate and just wanted the majority of the coaches to agree on whichever scoring format we came up with.
And so they were just asking for – go ahead, Coach Weber.
I was just going to ask, do you feel like there are USTA fingerprints on this, Coach Blumendahl? In other words, is this something that came strictly from the ITA, or are there some other forces at work here pushing for this?
Well, nobody's going to come out and tell us that for certain. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if we follow just the email trails that I've gotten in the last 24 hours, USTA has play in those, and they're trying to influence with scoring format. They have been with TV scoring format all along, and I talked to other ITA cabinet members, and they feel like, yeah, this is getting, you know, kind of dictated to them with some USTA people. So I definitely think they influenced it.
Is this the end of it? I mean, it was at one point you had NOAB. It was repealed. It's gone. And they've gone through this rigmarole now. This has kind of gone over 3 years, you know, where they, you know, it's been a three-year span. They've been turned back again. At this point, is it over with? Is it done? Are they going to come back anymore, you think?
Well, JP, I feel like we've been talking about this for 25 years. I think since the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, we've been talking about scoring format. And, you know, so it's like the dog chasing its tail. I mean, we haven't talked about the things that are going to set our sport forward, but we've been arguing about this one point, and we haven't come to terms with, hey, this is what the majority wants to do. It's all, you know, it's always, you know, too many coaches are against it. So that's why it keeps being rehashed. So until we start really going in a direction and start seeing the vision that we need to go into, which is going to require the right leadership, I think, you know, maybe scoring format might come up again. It shouldn't, but it may.
Yeah, really well said. It's really, regardless of the format, or the leadership is where we need to probably get them focused in the right direction. But I wanted to read a few things, guys. Look, just as the NCAA does not have the right nor the power to directly influence decisions made by the USTA guys, the USTA should not have the right nor the power to influence the director of NCAA sports and our student athletes, and that's what JP's asking. But remember this, too, that the ITA is a voluntary coaches organization, and correct me if I'm wrong, Coach Blumendahl, you've been an athletic director, you've coached at three levels, but it's a voluntary coach organization where yearly dues are charged to the member schools. $500 per team is charged. You have to pay to be a member. That is a membership organization. It serves those schools who pay their dues, basically. So their mandates and initiatives should not have the power over the will of the coaches for NCAAs, the conferences of the NCAAs, the NCAA regulations and NCAA play, and it definitely shouldn't act independently. I mean, in something like this, I think the women were right on. They said they needed a two-thirds vote, or they wanted a two-thirds vote, and that's all any of us most of the time are ever asking for.
Can I ask both of you a question?
But here's the last thing, JP, just real quick. The entire collegiate tennis community with all their pushback to these dramatic changes, have been largely unheard and ignored. You know, an easy solution, guys, would have been from the start just to do a TV format. Say, guys, you want to be on TV? Here, we'll do this. And everybody said, okay, put us on TV, we'll do that. But don't change the fabric of that. And then to your point, JP, you always have the show, who's driving the bus? Well, who is driving the bus? You know, the USTA is a well-respected organization, but their finances to the ITA put pressure on our volunteer organization to push this agenda forward, and this is fundamentally a wrong thing to do. Go ahead, JP.
Well, let me ask, Coach, your son, you want to do something for your son, you want to buy him a car or something of that nature, so you put $25K or $50K or whatever it is, car you buy the car for him, you have some rules that go with that car. So the USTA, they've been criticized. They've been roundly criticized because they're not helping. They're not helping college tennis. They're not helping this. So here they go, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. They step up, and they throw a lot of money. I've heard $300,000 to you guys and said, here.
We've heard a lot of different numbers, but I think it's a fact that they. Go ahead.
But what's wrong with them? What is wrong with them then saying, look, we're giving you this money. Here's how we want you to handle it.
You become a prostitute. I mean, he would say it the way it is. You become, whenever you take money from somebody, then you have to do their work. I mean, and that's the point. If you take money from somebody, there should be no strings involved at all. It's just like if you give money at a church or something, you know, you can't just say, okay, now I want the preacher to preach his sermon. Or if you give money to a charity, you can't say, look, I want the charity to all do this because I've given money. You give the money independently. If the USTA wants to give the ITA money, they do it independently like we want to help American tennis, but then don't come on the backside and say, but by the way, we want this format done, and we've got to get this done now. And guys, I was at the college meeting up there, you know who's driving the bus. And God bless every person that works there. They are good and noble people, but again, a bureaucracy that puts pressure on a different organization to do this, it's just wrong. Coach Weber.
Well, I think you're right. I think any time that they give money to anything that they do, they're going to have a lot of strings attached to it. I was just kind of curious, you know, I figured if they gave the money, I suppose they have the...
Nothing wrong with the money.
There must be...
Guys, I want to make that point. Nothing wrong with the money that they give. Everything wrong with the money and then directives. Everything wrong with that. Everything wrong for our leaders to take their hands off the steering wheel and let somebody else drive the bus.
How can they better help college tennis? If not doing it this way, if this isn't a way that you would like... What could they do to help?
Coach Blumenthal, we only got a couple minutes here. I'll get you to jump in there.
If they want to help college tennis, we have to find ways to give incentives to our American, you know, tennis players. And, you know, is that set up scholarships? I don't, you know, there's got to be a way where they can give more to tennis players and make it where college becomes a viable avenue, whether it's lobby to get less internationals in here, make it where there's more Americans, but it's got to be more of an American playground where they can get the scholarship money to the U.S. kids. So, you know, how can they do that? I think that they got to influence, and they've got enough money where they could probably set some things up to make it where there's some initiatives for that.
Coach Weber, any
bingo.
Quick thoughts? Got one minute here. Go ahead.
Bingo on that. He's right. And my thing where I told you they ought to reward coaches and teams that do it with American players, they ought to reward them with a stipend every year. Let them buy a brand-new match-made ball machine, something, or Playmate or whatever. I don't know. Equipment. There's all kinds of things that they could do for those teams to do it with American kids.
Absolutely. And there's no way in the world that they should have their – hands in on the steering wheel of college tennis and trying to steer it down this road because whenever you have that much power and you have an agenda, then the people who have paved the way over all of the years, you know, can get hurt. So, but guys, listen, keep up the good fight. You know, I'm just very, very proud of the battle for the guys out there. And again, in the end, guys, it's, you know, they say it's a matter of love, basically. You either honor the sport, love and honor. You honor the sport, it will honor you. If you don't honor the sport, you're definitely in a heck of trouble. So, Coach Blumenthal, any quick thoughts? I got 30 seconds there. Any quick thoughts?
No, I just want to thank you for letting me be part of the show again, and all your hard work in college tennis, and you know, stay the course with everything. Thank you.
You stay the course too, and everybody else out there, stay the course. Stand up, speak out, stay professional, address issues, not people, and let's just keep pushing on here, guys. Thanks, Coach.
Made in America. Born in a heartland. Raised up a family. A King James and Uncle Sam. He got the red, white, blue, fine high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his Simpsons. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of his USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. America.
Made in America. And this is Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you that you are in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And folks, it is with our game of tennis, it is a matter of honor and about love of the sport. If you honor it, it will honor you. If we cheapen it, we will all be sad in the long run. See you next week, and thanks for tuning in to American Tennis on UR Tennis Network.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.